Hello, friend. Thank you so much for downloading this podcast, and I hope you hear something truly, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, something that edifies, equips, enlightens, encourages, and then gently but firmly gets you out there into the marketplace of ideas. I so appreciate your taking the time to listen. But before you start the broadcast, let me just take a moment and explain that this month's truth tool is called SEEK, S-E-E-K, written by my friend David Robertson, my favorite Scottish apologist who is currently serving the Lord in Australia. He comes and visits with us once a month. And he wrote a book called Ask, and now he's written a follow-up book called Seek, Real Word Answers to Real World Questions. And so he literally goes through a whole series of questions like, is there ever a good lie? Or does the Bible have mistakes? Or what does the Bible say about climate change? Or what's the difference between capitalism and communism? And the list goes on and on and on. So it is a fabulous reference book that I know you're going to want to put in your legacy library. So if you'd like a copy of Seek, and we are listener-supported radio, I'd love to send one to you when you give a gift of any amount to support In the Market with Janet Parshall. Simply call 877-JANET-58, that's 877-JANET-58, and offer a gift of any amount. We'll send you a copy of David's book, Seek. Or if you'd rather do it online, go to inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. Scroll to the bottom of the page. There's the cover. It has a brain on the cover, so you can't miss it. Click on the cover of the book, make your gift right through the website, and we'll send you a copy of Seek by David Robertson. Great tool to have, one of those important little volumes in your ready reference library, and I know you're going to be blessed. By the way, when you're on the website, you might want to consider being a Parshall partner. Those are people who give every single month at a level of their own choosing. They always get whatever the truth tool is that particular month. And in addition to that, they get a newsletter that contains an audio piece from me as well. So Parshall partner or just this month's truth tool, either way, it helps us financially to keep moving forward. 877-JANET-58, 877-JANET-58, or online at inthemarketwithjanetparshall.org. Now, please enjoy the broadcast.
A time in your life when the devil's gonna try to get you down, and he's gonna try to attack you. But if we put on the full armor of God, we can watch God at work. You ready? Here we go. We gotta put on the armor of God. We gotta put on the armor of God. We gotta put on the full armor of God, so we can take our stand against the devil's schemes.
Hi, friends. Welcome to In the Market with Janet Parshall. Thrilled we are going to be spending the hour together. At the end of his letter, first letter to the church at Corinth, Paul writes, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." So this is about learning how to suit up, because there is, in fact, a war out there. So I always love to start with a little tidbit when we start our conversations about spiritual warfare. And before I go to the story, let me give you the phone number, because we open the phones this hour so you can ask any question you have on the topic of spiritual warfare. Now, it's very important. It wouldn't be in God's word if it wasn't, but it's often very misunderstood. And unfortunately, we've let the world teach us theology on this. And I give you Hollywood, all right? How many films are out there about the supernatural? Why are horror films, which are mostly predicated on the supernatural, why is that the number one genre in filmmaking? Did you ever think about that? Ooh. You go to your streaming platforms, they give you all the suggestions, they rank them sometimes. Why are horror films always up there? What is it about that? Well, I have a theory. I think it's because God has placed eternity in our hearts. If we know that there's good, and we certainly do, because we've got God's word and we've got God's world. So as it says in the book of Romans, we are without excuse. That also, that thinking, that inner man says, well, if there's good, there's probably evil. And not sure I want to go there, but why am I drawn to it? Why am I fascinated about it? So also, I think we're looking for ways to eradicate evil. And then the Bible tells us about the reality of evil. So this is an important subject with a whole lot of confused minds. So we need a great teacher, and that's who we've got. And I'll introduce him in just one moment. You need this, 877-548-3675, 877-548-3675. So we've talked about them, and I hate to give them publicity. I really do, because that's all they are. They are publicity hounds. They want to be in the news. And they came up with what they thought was a really good battle plan. I know, they said, let's call ourselves a religion. Now, The Satanic Temple doesn't believe in anything but themselves. They are hellish humanists. That would be a more accurate moniker. They don't believe in objective truth. They don't believe in a transcendent lawgiver. They don't believe in a creator. It is about the exaltation of self. In fact, that is their primary reason for existing. So there is no objective worship other than self. There is no deity. And yet, they like to masquerade as a religion. And like a bad parasite, wherever there is an opportunity for religion to take up residency and to be offered as part of an all-comers policy at a school, for example, they want to show up under the guise of being a religion. Well, the governor of Florida recently signed a bill that said, guess what? You're going to have chaplains that are now welcome in the public schools. But to his credit, it didn't take 1 minute after the bill was signed. He made it crystal clear that this was going to be a program, by the way, that was going to help people in the schools. But note to file, Satanists, don't even bother because you're not going to be accepted into the program. In fact, he said, if you do a school chaplain program, that somehow you're going to have Satanists running around all our schools. We're not playing those games in Florida. This is not a religion. That is not qualifying to be able to participate in this. So we're going to use common sense when it comes to this. So don't you have to worry about this. Well, the bill gets signed into law. And the governor of the state makes that declaration. And it took about 2 nanoseconds for the director of ministry. I can't even say that with a straight face from the Satanic Temple. I'm sorry, what are you ministering? Has made the statement, any opportunity that exists for ministers or chaplains in the public sector must not discriminate based on religious affiliation. Now, by the way, note to file, I've played for you a common council meeting that had a rotating system of chaplains who could come and deliver an opening prayer. And I let you hear the prayer led by a Satanist. Most of the members of the Common Council got up and walked out of the room. And one person wisely said, strike that from the record. We don't even want that as part of the public record. But again, they were going to slither in, appropriate, by the way, Genesis, slither in, and they were going to take advantage of being there with other religionists. And this temple spokesperson goes on to say, our ministers look forward to participating in opportunities to do good in the community, including the opportunities created by this bill right alongside the clergy of other religions. A, you're not clergy, and B, you ain't a religion. So then the Freedom From Religion Foundation weighs in. I love to talk about them because my husband beat them in court, but I digress. That individual said, I think there is a 100% chance you see satanic chaplains. That's an oxymoron, like jumbo shrimp, that you will see satanic chaplains and also, of course, other religious minorities that the majority Christian population might not be a fan of. You just ended a sentence with a proposition. The Satanic Temple is a church, whether people like it or not. Well, it's not. And I like the fact that the governor has said no. And if this ends up in litigation, maybe it's time that we did that. Maybe we actually took the time to say what constitutes a religion. At a minimum threshold requirement, there has to be an object of worship. And I'm pretty sure self don't count. So that's our story on the table as we get started, as you weigh in with your questions about spiritual warfare. 877-548-3675. And this gives me the opportunity to introduce a man who is dear, precious, loves God, loves his word, loves to apply it to the world around us. He is a pastor, a teacher, a speaker, an author, and was the former chaplain for many, many years to the Seattle Seahawks, and I do not hold that against him, by the way. He's currently on staff at Antioch Bible Church of Redmond, Washington. His primary role there is serving as the pastor of leadership development and discipleship training, and he's written what I think is the definitive book on this. It is so clear, concise, biblical, understandable. It's so good. It's been reprinted and updated. It's called Spiritual Warfare, Christians, Demonization, and Deliverance. And I know many of you listening right now have gotten a copy of that book. But if you haven't, you should. In the meantime, let's take your questions at 877-548-3675. But not before I turn to the one, the only, the irreplaceable Dr. Carl Payne and say, the Satanic Temple wants to show up and be a chaplain at a school near you. Your thoughts, Dr. Payne.
Well, young lady, first I have to say good afternoon, or it might not be me. It could be an imposter, you know. But that would be first thought, and I want to share some thoughts, but I am hearing music
you
in
are.
My ear.
And I'm sorry, I pitched you a fastball. Well, I'll tell you what, I pitched that ball too fast. Let me take a break and come back, and then we'll hear your thoughts on this idea of satanic chaplains at a school near you. And in the meantime, friends, that gives you a chance to line up with your questions. Any question you have, Can Satan occupy objects? Do you need holy water to cast a demon out? Can Satan read your thoughts? You know exactly the kinds of questions you've had, and this is the man to ask your question of. I likewise just ended a sentence with a proposition. 877-548-3675. Back after this. Should I obey the government? Are there mistakes in the Bible? Why is there suffering? Those kinds of questions are why I've chosen Seek as this month's truth tool. The Bible offers real word answers to real world questions. Ask for your copy of Seek when you give a gift of any amount to In the Market. Call 877-JANET-58, that's 877-JANET-58, or go to inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org. We're talking about spiritual warfare with our friend Dr. Carl Payne. We're going to take your questions. Those phone lines are lighting up good. 877-548-3675. Any question you've got about spiritual warfare, 877-548-3675. But I love this man's insight. And so I started with this story, and it's really being replicated all across the country, where the Satanic Temple, which doesn't believe in anything but themselves, which is really kind of satanic when you think about it at its core, and the Freedom From Religion Foundation, why they would even weigh in on a religious issue when you don't want any expression of religion in the culture at all is problematic to me. But in Florida, they're opening the door so that counselors can come in. They can have a Christian background. Satanists need not apply. Dr. Payne, your thoughts. Satanic chaplains.
Well, it kind of hits me the same way, Janet, as you were sharing that when same battle in my lifetime about humanism, and is humanism a religion? And on one hand, it's just common sense and principles to live by, and then when they wanted to get 501c3 tax exempt status, then they became a religious group, and then started ordaining chaplains and such. And when you said what you did about the Satanic Church, I mean, how many times have I had people involved in Wicca, Satanism, et cetera, say it's not a religion. Mm-hmm. We're not religion. And what they're trying to avoid is, since the government is not supposed to establish a particular religion, they do not want to be recognized as a religion so they can get on schools and such. And it's like, now we're kind of like the 4-H club or, you know, whatever. We're just young Democrats or young Republicans. We just offer choices and alternatives, but we're not an official religion. And yet, on the other hand, I don't know, I haven't asked on that church, but if someone said to me, have they ever applied for 501c3 tax-exempt religious exemptions, I would bet you, I'll bet that's happened somewhere. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's just curious to me the way I always think of the Seattle weather, you know, the weather sock out at our airport, and I say the weather around here changes faster than the Seattle wind sock. It's like we're religious. Well, if it'll, you know, help us, we are. Are we religious? Well, not if we think it'll keep us from being able to get on schools or in different places. And I've just watched that blow back and forth with humanist groups and with this. So I just go, just be honest and tell the truth.
Right.
And then maybe we can decide what we will or won't do, or what isn't appropriate. But to play this game about no one is smart enough to keep up with our mental gymnastics is insulting. I think another thing, and Janet, I thought whether I want to share this or not. I wasn't sure, and maybe sometimes when I say when in doubt, don't. But I'll just try and word it in a kosher, I guess, enough way to say, I can tell you that I am not aware of any Christian, I'll include myself, that when someone lets me know that they're a part of Wicca or they're a part of, a satanic church, you know, coven, whatever, I pray for their salvation. Mm-hmm. I have never prayed for their destruction. I go, I want to see people come to Christ. If mm-hmm. they say, I'm a humanist, I'm a signer honor of the 73 Humanist Manifesto, number 2, John Dewey with the first one in 33, or not a signer on it, but I'm in agreement, whatever, I will listen. I try to be polite. I try to reason if they really want to. No, you are far more, I think, than just a nice group of people out there with a different view, because you get so hostile with anybody that won't agree with you. Mm-hmm. And I mean, last week, I saw emails that came through saying things like, going to destroy you, you minister of Christ, going to kill you, you minister of Christ, going to kill your family, you minister of Christ. And I just thought to myself, when was the last time when someone told me they were part of any kind of group, and we agreed or we disagreed that it was the Christian who was throwing out nasty little emails or things like that saying, either you agree with me or we're not the ones typically that do that. And yet when it's convenient, we're the ones, well, you know, they're kind of like, you know, those historic Christians, those evangelical conservatives, they're just like Muslim terrorists. I mean, there's no difference. I go, except I've never told anybody go light up a mosque. I've never told anybody go kill somebody in the name of Jesus. I've never told people that Zionists and crusaders, men, women, and children, noncombatants, kill them. Like the seven sheikhs did in including February 28 of 19 February 23 of 1998. We just don't do that. Mm-hmm. So when I hear this double speak about we're religious, we're not religious, we want tax exempt, we don't, we want chaplains, we don't, it all seems so convenient. And I guess it's the hypocrisy that bothers me.
Yeah. Well said. Thank you for that, Carl. Appreciate so much your thoughts. Let me go to the phones. You're going to lead from this point on, friends. 877-548-3675. 877-548-3675. Linda in Indiana, your question for Dr. Bain, please.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Oh, good. Couple of questions. The first one is, what is the old Webster's Dictionary's definition of religion? Because I know that people talk about Satanists worshiping the devil. But the real question is, can they put thoughts in your head? I have a friend who loves God and is so gung-ho, I would almost call her eccentric about it. But all of a sudden, she has grown to a point where everyone she works around, everyone who lives around her, are putting thoughts in her head. Because they're all Satanists.
Wow. All right, Linda, you hear the music playing in the background. I'm going to ask Dr. Payne to answer that on the other side. We'll start with what's the definition of religion. And then the core of your question is, can Satanists put thoughts in your head or read your thoughts? This is In the Market with Janet Parshall. Our topic is spiritual warfare. You know, you've got questions and you might be confused, because if you've let the world teach you theology, oh, then you're going to have even more questions. So what does the Bible say about this topic? Recognizes its reality, but doesn't stop there. Gives us the accoutrements to be victorious through him, by him, because of him. Back after this. Dr. Carl Payne is our guest. We're talking about spiritual warfare, and we're taking all of your questions at 877-548-3675, 877-548-3675. Linda's joined us from Indiana, wants to know the definition of a religion, and then the second part of the question is, can Satanists read our mind, read our thoughts? So definition of a religion is real easy. It's the belief in and worship of a superhuman power or powers, especially a god or gods, which is why the Satanic Temple is not a religion. They don't believe in anything but themselves. They worship themselves, so apparently they must think they qualify because they're a superhuman. But I think only Marvel and DC come up with those. So you're calling, Carl. What about the idea of Satanists being able to read our thoughts?
Let me toss one thing quickly on the first part of the question, Janet, and then I'll pick up the second. Because I remember at some point in my walk with God over the years, that this struck me as odd, but I thought about it, and I thought, and that would be this. Most people think that to be a religious group, you have to be a theist. Mm-hmm. And yet, the truth is, there are non-theistic religious groups. They just have a different object of worship. and that would fall in, whether it's with Webster or Merriam-Webster ideas. But in other words, when you think of Buddhism or Taoism, you think of non-theistic religious groups. Humanism would say they are a non-theistic religious group. When you think of Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, you would say these are theistic religious groups. But they would both say that they qualify. And again, go back to the 501c3 tax exempt. They would say, yes, we're religious. But, hey, Christian, you know, you don't have to believe in God to be religious. You can believe in a non-theistic religion. So that would be first. Second thought, I would answer it this way. I would say demons can put things in a person's mind. And we've talked about that. I mean, I think a great example of that is Eve. You know, in the garden, Genesis 3:1-6, the serpent, who was Satan, was certainly the one that was whispering to her, you know, has God really said, you know, you can't eat this, etc., etc., you'll become like God? Or a 2 Corinthians 11:1-4, we've talked about numerous times, when Paul says that to the believers, I introduced you to Christ. You were walking in sincerity in your faith. So genuine believers, yes. I'm now concerned for you, lest you be deceived as Eve was deceived in her mind, because you're now talking about a different Jesus, involving yourself with spirits other than the one you received, and you're promoting a different gospel. And I would say in both of those, there was mental interaction, and in both cases, Bible says it was coming from supernatural evil entities. So can they, do they have access to be able to whisper in your ear? I think the answer is yes, biblically. Can they read your mind? Not only can demons not read your mind, and since they're the ones that if they're for real in their satanic involvement, they're simply involved with the demons, mediums and such. If they're for real, if they're not playing a game, they're in contact with demons. And can they read minds? Well, since demons can't read minds, then the ones professing to be channeling them or controlling can't either. They can certainly bring up things that, you know, it's like when I see the California psychics, the best in the country, you know, only $20 an hour or whatever it is. And I think to think that all of them are trained mediums, you know, I don't believe that at all. Mm-hmm. I believe if I know that I see you, you know, at a casino all the time, I might be able to say, gosh, I perceive that you have a problem with gambling. That didn't take a psychic. It didn't take a Phi Beta Kappa. It just took common sense. So sometimes there's that part of that. But are demons real, and can they put thoughts in your head? Absolutely. You're fat, you're ugly, Jesus doesn't love you, quit reading your Bible, you don't get anything out of it, your prayers bounce off the ceiling, etc., etc. But does that mean that demonic spirits can read your mind? No. If they can't, then professing witches certainly can't either. Now, if I'm involved in things and demons are grapevined in a wonderful way to think that they can't communicate, this is George. George has had a problem with pornography and immorality for 30 years. I'm certain that one demon could tell another demon. So if you've got people that are demonized and say, you know, they get whispered to, you know, George is involved with demons. It's not because they're reading somebody's mind. It's because they're grapevined with demons that are already involved in the same, you know, in the same action with someone. But there's only one who is omniscient. There's only one who is omnipotent. There's only one who is omnipresent. And that is the true God. It is not the imposters. It's the Creator. It's not part of his creation. Can they be organized, well-developed, and well-networked? Yes. But I tell people, do not give them omnipower. They don't have it. Don't give them supernatural, you know, omniscient. They're not. They're no more omniscient than they are omnipotent. Neither one is true. Stronger than us? Yes. Smarter than us? Yes. All-powerful, i.e., God is a ping-pong player, demons are a ping-pong player. Who's better matched up today because they're equals? That is baloney. One is creator, the other is creation.
Yeah. That is such a hugely important point. It's not like one football team against another team and it's a level playing field by any stretch of the imagination. That's the first bit of mythology you need to destroy. Linda, I hope that helps. And I hope that you've gotten a clear answer and that you'll be able to apply it to your set of circumstances. And I thank you for being with us. 877-548-3675. Folks online are going to come right back to the phone. So join us with your question. What do you need to know about spiritual warfare? What confusion do you have on this particular topic? What have you seen or heard that doesn't seem to square up with Scripture on the topic of spiritual warfare? That's what we're talking about at 877-548-3675. Ministry is never a solo effort. You know my voice because I'm on the radio every day. Look a little further and you'd see right into the homes of listeners just like you. Partial Partners, who give a monthly gift and make this ministry available. Become a member of the team today by becoming a Partial Partner. Call 877-JANET-58 or go online to inthemarketwithjanetpartial.org. This is In the Market with Janet Parshall. Our topic is spiritual warfare. Our teacher, Dr. Carl Payne, pastor, teacher, speaker, author on staff at Antioch Bible Church of Redmond, Washington, and the author of a book that's so germane to our conversation. It's called Spiritual Warfare, Christians, Demonization, and Deliverance. And if you're on hold, stay with us. My team is working as quickly as possible to get all of your questions stacked. So stick around, 877-548-3675. Pat, I welcome you. Your question for Dr. Payne, please.
Yes, my son wrote a paper on Satan's kingdom structure, and under it he's got principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. But inside that he talks about Satan's generals, Satan's lieutenants, Satan's captains and foot soldiers, and how he operates out of the second heaven. I'd like to know if this is biblical or if this is fiction.
Okay. I think how I would respond to that, I would say that demons have rank and order. I think if someone says, I'm going to call them generals, colonels, you know, captains, whatever, that's their prerogative. The New Testament doesn't identify them that way specifically, but if you want to talk about the idea of rank and order, yes, I think most anybody that's done much work with this would say that's clear, and Paul identifies demons with different rank. So I would say that part, it is true. There was a second part to what you just asked me, and I've doggone it.
It's the hierarchy. So basically wanted to know, she broke down her son's chart of what the hierarchy is. So I think it's just generally, is there a hierarchy?
And the answer is yes. But there was a part B. There was a second thing that she said he said. And I was thinking yes on one, no on one. But now,
Pat, do you remember what the second thing was?
Well, it was Satan's lieutenants, Satan's captains and foot soldiers, and then Satan and his kingdom operating out of the second heaven.
Huh. That's where I was going to go. I was going to say when I have people start talking about first, second, third heavens, et cetera, I was going to say, you know, from 2 Corinthians 12, when Paul was taken up to a third heaven. So if someone says, do you believe that can be true? I would say, absolutely, I believe it's true. If you can say, is there anywhere else in Scripture that talks about that starts talking about first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, you know, fourth heaven, fifth heaven, I would say at some point you say, go ahead and turn to the bloggers because they know almost everything and follow anything they tell you. If you're saying, does Scripture talk about that? I think the answer, if someone's going to say, I'm talking about this with confidence, I would say, if you want to share it as an opinion, and this is what I think this is, great. If someone says that, you know, I categorically believe that the Bible identifies who is in the first heaven, the second heaven, the third heaven, maybe Mormons have a view on that as well, when, you know, different heavens that you can go to, it's not scriptural. It's not biblical. So, you know, can people share opinions? Absolutely. I don't fight with that. I just look, does it line up with Scripture or not? If they say this is the truth, I would say predicated on what, based upon what? So I think, yes, the hierarchy, yep, he's got biblical basis for that. You know, talking about second heaven, third heaven, fifth heaven, whatever, we're speculating with the bloggers.
Thank you, Pat. Appreciate your being with us. 877-548-3675. Mary in Michigan, welcome. We'll take your question now, please.
Hi, yes. Thank you for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I suffer from a great deal of self-condemnation, and I know it's not from God, and it must be Satan. I try to immerse myself in the truth of God's word, but the evil voice seems to get louder. So I'm wondering, what can I do about that?
Oh, man, that's first, understand you're not the first and you're not the last. And let me give you a second thought before I try and answer a little bit more specifically. Maybe this is going to sound like an irony, but I have watched over the years that usually the people that are wanting to walk close with God, usually the people that have been on a high with God, you know, something really wonderful has happened, can expect somebody sooner or later lobbing grenades at them saying, no, I don't want you excited about Jesus, and I certainly don't want you thinking about walking with him. So when people say, when I get thoughts like this, how evil am I? I say, well, all sin and come short of the glory of God. So if you're saying, how many of us missed the mark? It's all of us. But if you're saying, must I be one who is you know, the most horrible person, you know, et cetera, because I had thoughts A, B, or C, I go, if it's from demons, usually they bother the ones that they think represent Christ. That's the irony. You know, you would think the closer you walk with God, the less you would take shots. I would say, okay, except that usually in war, you send your best troops against your best troops, and you save your best ammunition for the ones that you think can hurt you the most. So on one hand, I'm saying needs to be dealt with, but the other hand is don't see yourself as I must be a loser because I get bombed if you're getting bombed by demons. I would say something like this. I would say there are a couple of different levels of attack, and I would say, as I've told people about the offensive prayer, so often if I'm not dealing with demonization, in other words, if they don't have the place or space or territory to have a right to be there, the Greek word was topos. We've talked about it. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 explains that. Paul talking to believers saying, deal with your sin. 26, you do not want to give topos, a place, a space, or territory of control, to, and he names, to the devil. If all we're talking about are the arrows that get shot at us in Ephesians 6:16, or the accusation that gets tossed at us, and they're both mental, in Revelation 12:10-11, then I would say use the offensive prayer on a consistent basis and see if it stops it. You know, Father in heaven, I have no idea what your thoughts are. You know, I'm not asking you, especially on the radio. But if you just said, Lord Jesus, if it's a demon that's telling me that you hate me, you left me, I'm a loser, and there's no hope for me, I'd be better off dead. If that's a demon, not the result of me reading horrible books, watching horrible movies, and then blaming you for my nightmares, but if that's really from a demon, would you beat the tar out of the thing that's trying to destroy my thinking and trying to take any confidence I have in you? Just beat the tar out of it. And if it comes back and you get another thought that says, you know, if you think we're leaving, quit bothering you that easy, you know, you don't get it. Lord Jesus, the one that's now just taunting me, would you just kick that sucker's teeth in? Now, my wife would say, don't say that, Carl. That sounds like a guy. Would you just put a major hit on that thing? Would you whop that thing? Would you tell it that it's messing with the apple of your eye? That offensive prayer will often help if the only thing that's going on are the occasional arrows. If there's been demonization, if there have been doors that have been opened, that's why I wrote chapter 8 in that book, to say if that's where it's at, and yes, it includes believers, it's not that difficult to deal with. You just need to learn how to identify what is that opened the doors, and then make sure whatever took advantage of it understands you're a squatter. I don't want anything to do with you. The Bible says, when I resist you, you will flee from me. I'm done running from you. So it would mean a different degree of the battle, means a little bit of a rotation in how I'm going to respond. But either way, I can win, whether it's the oppressive nonsense that the arrows represent, or whether it's that they actually have a place, space, or territory that the topos, the handhold, the footholds represent. Either one of them can be dealt with, and know as a believer, you do not have to put up with it. And what they're wanting you to believe is you're passive, you're not smart enough, you're not strong enough. Why try? You'll just lose again anyway. You know, God doesn't listen to you anymore. If God loved you, why would he let you go through this in the first place? Just give up and die. And for the believer that turns that passive note on and believes it, I just go, whether you know it or not, you're inviting them to keep shooting the arrows at you. Because they know they can shoot them, you'll react instead of responding biblically, and then they mock because they're going, look, they belong to Christ, but they act like a victim. So let's just keep treating them like a victim.
Hmm. I thank you so much for being a part of the conversation. 877-548-3675. Lee in Ohio, thank you for joining us. Your question, please.
Yeah, how can a believer know if they've opened the doors to demonization in their life?
Boy, good question. I guess I would answer that, Lee, I missed the name. I'm sorry. I think I heard Lee.
Lee,
but,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, Lee, where I would go with that is as kind of what I was saying to the person before. You do not have the ability, nor do I, to keep demons from shooting arrows at you. What you have is the ability to put up a shield of faith, which will put them out. So if I'm getting goofy thoughts, I say welcome to walking with Christ and welcome to somebody thinking you're an enemy enough that they're going to tee up an arrow or two to go, can I discourage you? But if we're talking about the demonization, and if that's what the question is, how do I know if I'm demonized? I will say something like this. I will say usually that mental barrage. And I've had people say it's not always mental. Sometimes it's physical. You know, it can be. It's true. But the overwhelming majority of people who are Christians and demonized will tell me, I live in a world of accusatory thoughts running through my head that always say one way or another that I'm not enough. Jesus isn't enough. My love isn't enough for him. His love isn't enough for me. My Bible reading is a waste of time. My prayers are a waste of time. You can't trust Christians because they'll let you down anyway. All the leaders are hypocrites. They preach one day a week and then golf 6 days a week. And so, you know, it'll be just that barrage, a mental barrage. If someone says, I am living with that 24/7, I would say we probably need to talk about demonization. If it's an occasional goofy thought, put up the shield, pray offensively, smile, and walk on.
Wow. Thank you so much for being with us, Lee. I appreciate it. Let me take a break. Come right back. Dr. Carl Payne, our guest, by the way, if you don't have his book and this subject is of any interest to you whatsoever, you really should get it. I've got it on the info page. You can click on through to discover how to get your copy. It's called Spiritual Warfare, Christians, Demonization, and Deliverance. When we come back, more of your calls at 877-548-3675, 877-548-3675. We're going right back to the phones at 877-548-3675. Our topic, spiritual warfare. Our guest, Dr. Carl Payne. Marianne in Vermont, I appreciate your patience and welcome. Your question, please.
Thank you so very much. In the beginning of the Bible, when God created the angels, did they have free will so that the most beautiful angel that turned into Satan was able to take one-third of the angels with him? And then, because I've, you know, read over the many years of Bible studies and Bible reading that angels do not have free will.
I think that your question almost answers itself. I think clearly for them to have been able to rebel against God, when God's declaration in Genesis 1:31 is that everything he made was very good, my thought would be that, yes, they clearly had an opportunity to decide who they were going to follow. And I would say that maybe that helps me understand why when people say, well, if they can choose to follow Satan, could they choose to again follow God? And the response that you will get typically is no. Their decision was a once-for-all time made. And then it's like, well, thank God as a Christian, if I'm walking with God and then I fall in a hole, 1 John 1:9 says, I can confess my sin. He's faithful and just to forgive and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And yet I never see that same kind of a concession given to demons. So I'm Here's my guess. My guess is that, yes, I think you're right on the third of the angels, following a loser. And yes, I think that they had the ability to do that. So clearly they had a will that allowed that. But I think because of their special privilege, it also meant that that decision was going to be a bit different than where we are as human beings. And that is, once they've made a decision, they stuck. And I have said before, whether it's in writing or speaking, when people say, what motivates demons to want to tear Christians apart? I still think it's, since I'm going down, I'll take as many of you with me as I can. That's why when you get a Christian who's saying, I'll kind of play at this thing of holiness and walking with God, and you got a demon that Jesus says, the boss down, you know, came to kill, steal, and destroy in John 10:10. When you got one of them that says, this is a battle to the death, and you've got another one saying, yeah, I'll think about it when I feel like thinking about it, but I've got more important things to chase out there, you know, represented maybe by the world, the flesh, and the devil. When one is at war and one thinks it's a photo shoot, who do you think is going to win a lot of those battles?
Thank you. I really appreciate the answer, Carl. Thank you so much for the question, Marianne. 877-548-3675. And let me turn to Pete. Pete, welcome in your question now, please.
Yeah, I want to thank you, Janet. Your show is always good. And just thank you for what you guys do. Kind of question, and then I would like to comment because I have had experience working with a lot of Satanists over the years. But my question is, do you think that from time to time that the demonic world gets together and does an extra heavy attack, just in general, on Christians and on people in general, on humanity?
Hi, Pete. My first response would be, if you know someone's saying, speak with certainty, you know, like, do I know that Jesus died and whosoever believes in him will not perish? I don't have that kind of certainty on that kind of thing. But I think that I could probably speculate and feel pretty confident about it when I say, well, if end times, Paul writes, are going to be picking up, you know, the warfare kind of thing in a way that can even fool believers, I would say that clearly I think they have the ability to turn it up or turn it down. If we're saying, how come it is after a, if whether it's an individual as an individual Christian, or maybe it's a city or a town or a state, they seem to be seeing revival, to think that they wouldn't be calling troops in and saying, hey, we gotta stuff this thing down. You know, we don't want this thing sweeping any further than it already has. So, you know, if I'm a good fighter, and I assume they're smart fighters, they're going to have the ability to send troops to where they see the biggest need. So I think there's just kind of inherent logic, if you would, that yes, what you're saying is true. It would make sense to me. And I think, again, the thing that in times things are going to heat up says, you know, if they see the clock moving, it's like time's getting short. How many can you take down? So did they intensify? Sure. Do I have, you know, a specific verse that would, you know, like some things I would prefer. I don't have a specific verse for that I'm aware of.
And you had a follow-up to this.
Yeah, I just had a comment. I volunteer teach Bible study in prison systems over the years, and I was put with Satanists, not by choice. It was not by choice. But I have to say, after working with them for years, it's very real. But the thing that it even gives me goosebumps to talk about it every time I do, but once I learned about it, not that I'm some kind of super Christian, but, and these were satanic ministers that I was around, but when you speak the name of Jesus, you would physically see them shake. It was the most amazing thing I ever saw. But that name, and early on when I was afraid to deal with these people, Jesus just kind of communicated, Holy Spirit just kind of communicated, like, I'm serious, it's the powers in that name of Jesus, and it's just, it's a real deal. But I appreciate the topic, and
I'll give you a couple thoughts that it reminds me of. I mean, I have said many, many times, we win because Christ won, and they know that. And again, when you think of an Acts 19, their attitude towards the sons of Sceva versus their attitudes toward Jesus and Paul, Jesus, we know. Paul, we recognize, but who are you?
Mm-hmm.
They clearly are aware of the ones that Christ lives in. But I'll tell you something that this may sound silly to some people. Maybe it makes sense, but I'll share this. I don't know if I've ever shared this with you, Janet. Back in the days when I was youth pastoring so much in Spokane and San Diego with primarily high school and college kids, but I remember there was a time before I was aware of this that, like, we would have a box of Bibles oftentimes where if people came in without Bibles, I'd just say, hey, throw them one. Once I started seeing how demons were absolutely terrified of Christians who would say, I'm standing as a victor instead of running as a victim, I said, quit throwing Bibles. Carry it over, hand it over, pass it over. But they're afraid of the Word of God, quit throwing it across the room like a comic book.
Wow. What a note to end this conversation on. Carl, thank you so, so much. I'm glad we've already got our next date set because I've got all kinds of people online who still want to visit with you. And to those of you who are online, write down your question because Carl is kind and gracious and visits with us regularly. And maybe next time we'll get to your question. Thank you, friends. We'll see you next time.